Sister Rain has left and Father Sun is home. Brother Wind comes blowing in to welcome home the gnome.
This is Bluey's Brisbane.
Well, g'day, it's Justin here from Bluey's Brisbane. Lou, how are you?
I am very excited about all things to talk to Meg Washington, talking songs from The Sign, but we're also going to talk about The Sign today. And that post-viewing, is it the rush, the euphoria? It's been a thing. It is a thing, like post-Sign viewing.
Well, you've given it away. We will be talking to Meg Washington, voice of Calypso, a little bit later on. But first of all, you know, are you still feeling all of the things from The Sign?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not cool this afternoon. I'm going to give everything away. The Sign has been on high rotation in our household. There's little things I keep noticing. Like, that happens in 7-minute episodes, but that 28 minutes is just simply jam-packed. And for me, I frame this in my head as it's the Mount Cutha episode we deserved, because we'd always get glimpses of that location in so many other Bluey-verse episodes.
Yeah.
But we finally get to the mountain of Brisbane. We get to, you know, we're looking at our city through the binoculars at the lookout. There was some wonderful moments all around that location, and even on the way to the location too, the journey there. I recognise a lot of locations too.
I gave her a speeding ticket about 10 minutes ago.
What? Where?
Smith Street, near the juice shop.
That's Frisky's favourite juice shop.
Frisky's getting a juice!
Yeah, well, I think it was a real love letter to Brisbane, really. One of the things I also thought was I felt like The Sign was maybe a little bit more targeted towards the grown-ups than maybe some other Bluey episodes. I don't know what you thought about that.
I want to say yes to that. That's the first time I've actually heard it framed. But I do think Joe Brum is writing to us all. That was his version of that storybook that Calypso reads to the class. So, you know, spoilers ahead if you haven't seen The Sign, because there's a plenty of coming in this episode.
That's such bad luck, they said. We'll see, replied the farmer.
The we'll see, you know, parable that's told through that story that Calypso reads to Bluey's class. I felt like Joe did a 28-minute parable to us, so to speak. I think we are. We'll see. We don't know what the future of Bluey is. There's heaps of speculation about all that. I think all of that episode was a warm hug about we'll see, because we don't know. And he doesn't know yet. And the future is unknown. And that's the bittersweet nature of The Sign. Things happen. They're not necessarily good or bad, because there's always good or bad that comes out of a thing that happens. And I thought that was beautiful. So really, if this was a way to prime us all that it's all going to end, because we've talked a lot about, is this the end? What does this mean? And all the fan groups are talking as well. It was a wonderful way to say, we'll see, and prime us for whatever's next.
You know, we're all looking for a sign, aren't we? You know, these big decisions in life, we're all looking for the sign. Should we do this? Should we do that? I love this episode. And it's brought up a few big conversations in our household about moving, and my daughter's been talking about, well, what would happen if we moved? Are we going to move? But you sort of touched on Bluey ending, and we don't know what the future is for Bluey.
No.
As a lot of people know, these episodes that are just airing were completed in 2022. They've been in the can for 2 years, but no one's quite sure what Bluey will look like in the future. I guess we'll see. Let's bring it back to The Sign. What were some of your favourite moments in the 28-minute Bluey special?
Oh, everything around looking at Brisbane through the lookout binoculars. Like, Muffin brought it home. I love the character of Muffin. The coin stuck in those lookout binoculars is, I think, something every Brisbane kid has gone through. I felt that in my bones, that moment. And the fact that it gets unstuck when the sheepdogs just basically look at it, but Chili can't even get it out. It's like, yeah, there's that moment right there, because there'd often be coins stuck in them. They'd be out of service. But where one person couldn't get it out, another person, it was easy for them to do. And what kid didn't look for their houses, or even adults? Oh, let's try and find the share house we lived in at Toowong. I think you can see it from up here, that kind of thing. because from the back deck where you used to live, you could see Mount Cutha and vaguely where the lookout was. So that looking through there, like, oh, can we see our house? Has to be the most spoken question on the top of Mount Cutha for every Brisbane person who's gone up there. I mean, do you not agree as a Brisbane boy?
Oh, absolutely agree. Yeah. And then my perspective of Mount Cutha is kind of flipped because I grew up in the Gap and our family home was right at the bottom of Mount Cutha. So every morning when I ate my breakfast or walked into the lounge room, there it was, Mount Cutha with the TV towers on the top. And I kind of had this other view of Mount Cutha of kind of looking up rather than looking down.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yes, because I forgot about, you know, being a Gapper. Yeah, your whole perspective is flipped, whereas it was always for me going up there, seeing Brisbane from that view, because it's uninterrupted views of the city. It's absolutely glorious.
Where are we? This is the lookout. Frisky and I used to come up here as teenagers to, think.
If you're going to come to Brisbane, we often talk about Bluey Days Out. I'm just going to do probably the worst tourism campaign for Mount Cutha, but my own personal campaign for Mount Cutha is do go. It actually costs you nothing but petrol to get up there. You can even catch a bus up there if you can time your life around that bus, the one bus service it'll go. But it's great. You can get to go to the lookout. You get all these magnificent views. There are bushwalks as well that you can do that are immediately adjacent to the lookout, and there's a restaurant and a kiosk as well. So if you do want to put down, you know, some dollar bucks for ice creams and so forth, or even have a whole meal up there. I mean, this is a date night type of restaurant as well. People get married and have their receptions there. So I totally expected this episode to actually have the wedding reception at the Mount Cutha restaurant.
Me too.
It was great to see it actually in the backyard, don't get me wrong, but I thought, oh, I swear to God, a quarter of Brisbane have had their wedding reception at the Mount Cutha restaurant. Because it was the place at one stage where you would have that sort of function. So I would highly recommend for a Bluey day out, Mount Cutha is just absolutely spectacular. And it's something I've been thinking of prior to the sign because finally the weather, which is a segue into another great moment in the sign, the weather's finally getting cooler here in Brisbane. And I'm thinking, oh, I think I could actually go out and do a bushwalk now. Because the seg is into that classic line from Bucky Dunstan.
Oh, it doesn't have a pool?
Oh, no, you won't need one. Queensland summers aren't that hot.
Oh.
And I roared with laughter at that line from the real estate agent as well. Because of course it does. So those were some of those little moments, like what you said, you reckon they've done this for adults. That was just one for the parents who were watching in on that episode.
And now, is this the first time that they've actually mentioned Queensland in the episode? Because
yeah, you've postulated
there's been lots of
this.
Little,
yeah.
Yeah, there's been lots of little hints and things in previous episodes. You know, I've got a fly to Longreach. You know, yes. When they go to the Big Peanut, there's a map of Queensland.
And there's a map of Australia too, like a little wall hanging that had Queensland marked out and the little Brisbane dot. That was in the background of many episodes.
Maybe in State of Origin, Queensland got mentioned, but
Queensland,
I feel like none of the characters have actually ever said Queensland. Is this the first time they've said Queensland in Bluey Lou? Maybe we need to go back and watch all 150 whatever episodes and check.
It's what we're prepared to do, right? And I think when you asked me that, that knocked me back down. And I thought, I think you're right. I think that's the first time we've heard Queensland. We've had all those Longreach, Big Peanut and clear Queensland and Brisbane, you know, references. But we finally had the Q word mentioned because this was all about moving too. Like someone slid into our messages today, Jen, saying, I'm really glad I don't have to redo any artwork for you guys and call it Bluey Adelaide. It's like, yeah, fair. and that was a very funny comment just all about it because it's like they never said where Bandit was going, whether it was interstate, intrastate, so somewhere else in Queensland.
Yep.
It was always just this big murky unknown. We'll see, I guess, on that one.
We'll see. Look, one of my favourite bits was in the wedding reception. There's a couple of, once again, things for the grown-ups, you know, where Rad and Frisky get up to make their speech and I think Rad says, we've got an announcement to make and Nana Healer gasps and then it's like, no, not that one, Mum. And there was a big laugh in our house from the grown-ups with that one. But probably my favourite bit was when they cut to Grandpa Bob and the kids were asking, where have you been?
What were you doing in India for so long, Baba?
Well, girls.
He was off trying to find himself.
It was like his Eat, Pray, Love moment. He went off to India to find himself.
Good on Bob having
Because, of
moment.
Course, all of the fan groups have been awash for the last couple of years with, where's Grandpa Bob?
Yes.
Where's he been?
And there was that third wedding reception moment too.
Nana! Bob and Stripe are dancing like eagles.
Oh, I got to see this.
And if that's not the most Brisbane reference as well, that was mentioned in this, because yeah, it's a clear reference there to Eagle Rock by Daddy Cool. That song is a bit of an institution here in Brisbane. It was often played in uni bars for decades long after that song was ever released. And a classic one was, when that song comes down, you drop your dacks. Drop your pants. Please keep your dacks on. And it's all about getting in a circle and shuffling around with your pants around your ankles doing the Eagle Rock. You all knew, ironically, because they don't wear pants, what the Healer family and guests were doing if they were dancing like eagles. So I would have loved to have seen how that was interpreted. That was always off camera, unfortunately, in the sign. But thanks for that reference to the writers.
Is this the bit where I tell you back in the noughts when I was, in my muso days, back when I was cool, I played a gig at the Manly Festival down on the Bayside in Brisbane, and we played right after Ross Wilson and Daddy Cool, and they finished with Eagle Rock. And there's a whole bunch of like that generation.
Yeah.
And then my band gets on and we do this funk hip hop kind of fusion, and we just went down like an absolute lead balloon.
Did you drop your pants? Did you
Eagle Rock? The pants stayed up. But I told my dad that we'd played with Daddy Cool, and he's like, oh, wow, sounds like you guys are starting to get famous.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
no.
Unfortunately not. One other classic moment that I really loved, and it got a huge laugh, right at the end when Stripe crawls out of the bushes.
Yes.
What day is it?
Classic Stripe.
Brought back memories of big nights out. Yes, classic Stripe, yes.
And they all lived happily ever after. The end.
Ooh.
Yes, Bluey?
Why do stories always have happy endings?
Well, I guess because life will give us enough sad ones.
But I guess, of course, like when we're talking about The Sign, the absolute, pinnacle of that episode is right at the end when this beautiful music starts to build up, and then we get the voice of Calypso. Meg Washington sort of breaks through with her song Lazarus Drug.
Oh, that was so emotional for me.
I can imagine tears everywhere.
Yep.
And it's so good to have Meg Washington on the podcast with us right now to talk all things Calypso and The Sign and Lazarus Drug. Meg Washington, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, look, Meg, can you just take us back to the beginning, when you were first contacted about this role of Calypso in Bluey, and you were asked to lend your voice talents to the show. Did you ever think that this show would just become, the juggernaut that it is, literally the biggest show in the world?
Well, certainly no. I didn't ever think that it would be the biggest show in the world. I came to the show through my friend Daly Pearson, who was one of the show's producers, and we have had a friendship for quite some time beyond this, where he's a producer of TV shows and he was always having interesting ideas, and he always asks me to do random things and I love it. So I always say yes to him because I, once I played a hacker on a TV show opposite Jermaine Clements, another time he asked me to be the voice of a scribble. And it's just fun, So he texted me and said, we'd love you to do a voice for Bluey. I have a memory of auditioning for Chili.
Wow.
I have a memory of reading a part. But then, they said that they would love to offer me the role of Calypso. And they said that she was really musical and that she sort of sing talks. And I thought, well, that's great for me because I have a stutter and sing-talking is how I talk.
Amazing.
So it was pretty cool timing, actually. And I was, at the time that I did my first voice recording, I was pregnant with my son. So it's just sort of tracked this whole chapter of our lives. This whole new chapter has been so in line with the show, is like a little sort of timeline of where we are. And it's just been, I mean, when I first watched the first episode, I cried because I was like, this is so different. It's so immediate and so human. It's like, you know, you really get the sense that it's about the best parts of humanity, even right from the beginning of season one. And so I've just been watching with great delight to see how much it's been embraced. You know, I remember hanging out with the team and there was a conversation happening about whether the show would have to be dubbed into an American accent. And they were like, and it was just a genuine question. Like, it was the problem of the day. Do you know what I mean? And just the way that it's been so, like, defended creatively, and the way that it's been able to be so idiosyncratic and such a unique fingerprint, you know, I just think is so inspiring.
Now, your character Calypso is based on creator Joe Brum's firsthand experience of sitting in his daughter's prep classroom and observing her teacher. And in the episode of Calypso is also one of his favourite episodes. And we would really like to know, how does it feel to portray a character that has obviously got a lot of meaning to Joe Brum?
Listen, I feel happy to know Joe Brum. You know, I feel like everyone who comes within reach of his mind and his creativity and his bravery and his heart is, you know, changed by that experience. And, you know, I'm one of millions of people that feels that way, I think. You know, I love playing Calypso because, you know, she is like a subtle problem solver. And I've heard him say before that play is always, I'm totally going to mess this up, but it's like something along the lines of, the kindergarten teacher said that play is always the best solution unless you walk into the room and they're all cats. Because if they're all cats, there's no coming back. You have to have lunch or something. Yeah.
That's a lovely typewriter, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Calypso. I'm going to write my story now.
Okay, have fun.
Meg, we've just had obviously The Sign launch globally. You know, what a cracking episode that was. I think it really summed up probably everything that Bluey's trying to have been for the last couple of years. But, you know, there was that great crescendo towards the end of the episode and your song Lazarus Drug kicks in. And I can just imagine Bluey fans around the world bursting into tears at that moment. You know, you released the song a couple of years ago, but what was your personal inspiration, you know, behind the lyrics and the music of Lazarus Drug?
It's a pretty incredible inversion, the way that this song is appearing to shake out, because it is a song that I really didn't write thinking, oh, this is for, you know, this is a single, you know, this is for radio, this is, do you know what I mean? It's a song that's deeply, deeply personal, and a song that I wrote from necessity, you know, the desperation of the artist that feels the urge to write the song, you know. And yeah, I wrote it in 2019 and then put it on my record, Bat Flowers. And I always loved the song so much because it felt like church to me. Like, it feels like a hymn that just keeps sort of lifting and rising and exploding. And to me, that's what it felt like to be choosing to feel love and reach for faith and reach for hope. And to, you know, that's what I needed to repeat to myself. You know, I feel like when I write songs, they're kind of incantations in a way, because it's sort of often my lyrics will be something that's not entirely true, but it's what I want to be true, or it's what I want to feel.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, I put it on Bat Flowers, and then Joe wrote to me just shortly after Bat Flowers came out, and, you know, he writes cryptic emails, and it just said, Lazarus, you know, Drug is a really amazing song, that's all. And I thought, well, that's cool, you know, because he's smart and that's a good compliment. That's awesome.
Shortest review ever. Shortest review ever.
Yeah, you know, that record didn't really pop through the COVID mask or whatever. So when he said he wanted to use it in the show, I was kind of like, oh, that seems cool. Like, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure, really. I didn't understand how it would fit because, you know, there's not a lot of outside music. I don't think any, maybe, yeah, unless I'm wrong. But anyway, and then, yeah, he sort of explained to me that there was going to be a special and that he wanted to put it in the special. And, I mean, I just said, yes, you know, whatever. You just do what you want to do. So, and then I saw it and I lost my mind.
It's a great moment in that special.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh,
yeah.
Really, composition, when it's done right, equals something that is always greater than the sum of its parts, you know. And I feel like, you know, that moment and the storytelling and just the way that it makes you feel, which is shimmeringly human, that's the point of art, isn't it, to remind you that you're a human being.
Oh, yeah, yep. Like you were just hinting at, you know, Joe Brum and the team, they've asked, hey, can we use Lazarus Drug, the song, in this episode? And you've gone, yeah, sure. I'd like to think with a casual shrug or something. I don't know. But how does it work, or how did it work, rather, like working with Joe Twist, working with Geoff Bush and the rest of the music team to rearrange the song? Or was it a matter of handing it over and saying, let me see what you do with this? Like, what was the process that you guys used?
I can't quite recall, but it went something like, we gave them the stems, which is the individual parts of the song, and then I think they fit those stems to the picture, or fit the picture to the stems, or the vocal, and then I think they orchestrated and scored kind of all around that, embroidered all of that into the picture with their orchestrations, and then I re-sang it in the studio in Geoff's space. I re-sang it I think I saw it and then I re-sang. I just sort of sang the song and then that was it. I mean, I'm sure that if you asked them, they wouldn't say and then that was it. But but for me, that was it. And then
yeah, that's all you do. Yeah. Just sing it, walk off.
Yeah. Yeah. And Geoff and Joe and Daniel and Jazz and Joe went off and did all their magical stuff and I toddled off onto my next adventure.
And then 2 years later, it's on our TV screens.
A lot of dog ears. It was a lot of dog ears.
A lot of dog ears, yes. Look, you live here in Brisbane. We were talking about we complete a little bit of a Brisbane triangle with all of us dialing in today. You've even done, I'm doing the Bluey math. You were going to become a freshly minted parent when Bluey had started, when your role became part of Bluey. Mm. You're a musician, singer, like, your extensive CV is amazing. It was great reviewing that. And it was like just seeing where you've come. There's no genre of music I don't think you haven't done. And now you're a voice actor on Bluey. Did you feel like, you know, coming through the COVID pandemic with the character Calypso, it was bringing all your life roles together in one place?
That's a beautiful idea. I don't think I've ever identified with her so completely in that way because, you know, I know that she's a big part of Bluey, but it's kind of 3 hours of my year usually to record.
True, yes, yep.
You know what I mean? Because it's, you know, the episodes are 7 minutes long and, you know, it's just I'm not a she's not a – anyway, what I'm trying to say is I don't really think of her, you know, psychologically as a as an avatar for myself. But I do feel like voice acting – and playing Calypso and coming to terms with my stutter and sort of overcoming the fear of that. I don't think you ever really overcome the actual thing, but the fear of it, I've definitely like defeated that boss of that level. And I feel like, you know, in terms of genre and stuff, like, I don't know, I sort of see everything as composition, which is, you know, what exists, what is missing, what do I have to be to be what is missing, you know?
Yeah.
My friend calls me a genre pig.
With love, I'm sure. With love and respect, I'm sure.
Well, there's just so much cool shit to learn and to try and to do. But, you know, I mean, I feel like COVID really changed my whole attitude and my whole mindset because, you know, prior to COVID, my relationship to performing was like, oh, I'm a fish. This is water. This is where I belong. Ho-hum. I'll always be doing this. This is no big deal. I don't really take it very seriously. Like, whatever. But then COVID happened and I felt like maybe I would never perform again, maybe. And then COVID ended and all the festivals returned and everybody went back to playing shows and my phone didn't ring. So yeah. I thought, oh, I thought if I ever get a chance to do this again, I'm going to think of every single detail and try really, really hard and make it perfect. And so then when, you know, ever I have had an opportunity, like I treasure it and I cherish it because, well, I've learnt my lesson, haven't I?
Yep.
Amazing.
We were going to ask a cheeky last question, and I know this sure. is one of your favourite songs, Justin.
When you sing the gnome song in Calypso, that's yeah. like one of my favourite moments in Bluey ever. I remember when it first came on, I was like, oh, that is beautiful. Mm. Any chance you could give us like one or two bars of the gnome song?
Oh. Sister Rain has left and Father Sun is home. Brother Wind comes blowing in to welcome home the gnome.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much, Meg Washington, for your time.
My heart's a flutter.
Oh, you're so welcome. That's so funny. I was like, oh, my gosh, I nearly forgot the words. I was a bit nervous.
That's awesome.
You've made my day. Thank you so much for that.
No worries, guys.
And the Terriers have made another fort.
We're Romans.
I can see. Now, you are here to protect the kingdom.
Yes, Calypso.
That's good.
Do you need protecting?
Not right now, thanks.
Justin, we got our gnome song. We're getting Lazarus drug. We're getting all of the Meg Washington goodness today. How good was that chat?
I mean, that was amazing. And to hear her sing right at the end, so beautiful, so beautiful. Obviously, we'll put in the show notes all of the links to all of the stuff. So that's the Bluey music video, the original music video for Lazarus Drug. We'll pop a link to Mary Bolling's story for the ABC about her Bluey life. It's not ready to end. She's not ready for that to end. We'll pop that in as well. So check the show notes for all the links.
And remember, Mary's one of your favourite dog librarians as well. So star of the show, Mary Bolling.
And another little quick shout out to another Bluey podcaster, Brendan Williams, who's part yep. of the Hammerbarn Project. G'day, boys. He voices one of the sheepdogs, one of the dogs who can't see but almost buys the Healer House.
Wow.
So well done, Brendan, on your Bluey debut.
Enjoy the pool, Brendan. You got your dream home at last, thanks to the Mount Coother binoculars.
And I mean, this is one of the great things about Bluey, right? We've met people from all over the world. We've made new friends because of this show.
Yeah, we really have.
You know, I've got mates now in America because of this show that I chat to and we talk about dad stuff.
I didn't bore Meg with this, but if she's listening, hey, Meg. When Meg Washington was talking about how, you know, Lazarus Drug, Bat Flowers, the album, kind of got stymied by COVID, and I feel like that's the greatest understatement you've heard in this whole episode recording. Yeah. But we started this in COVID as something to get through all of that unknown. COVID and the pandemic for us was constantly, we'll see, get the next update, what's happening. And so I can't help but feel this is a perfect episode just sort of be doing a wrap-up of what's our Bluey journey as well, and sort of like hinted at in Meg's, you know, journey with, as a musician, as a parent, and then as a voice actor and a character on a show. So what am I trying to say? We'll see, I guess. But it's been an absolute pleasure, Mr. Justin, doing this pod with you since pandemic strange times to now.
And look, we know it's been a great ride. And like Bluey, this isn't the end of the podcast. There's going to be more episodes, but I guess like Bluey, we don't know what the future will look like. Obviously, we've got Bluey's World, you know, coming in a couple of months. There's plenty of stuff happening, and we've been told that, you know, Bluey will be back. We just don't know when.
Absolutely.
So I guess a question to you before we wrap up, Lou, what would you want to say to, you know, Joe and the Bluey team about the journey they've taken us on for the last 5 years?
I've been thinking a bit about how you and I got to meet Joe after his talk at Brisbane Writers Festival a couple of years ago. And I was only just thinking about that again because I saw some ads that the next Brisbane Writers Festival for 2024 is coming up soon, very soon, in fact. And I thought, just talking to him about storytelling, I just want to say, you know, thank you for this wonderful gift of what Bluey has been and also what Bluey is going to be in the future, because it is an absolute masterclass in storytelling. There is so much they do through art, voice acting, and the musical score that tells such an evocative story. We have been using this in our homes to be better parents and to discuss hard things with our kids. And you make it so accessible to talk about the hard things, but also being still and noticing the beautiful things that are around us, that they're also worth 7 minutes of time of storytelling, like a walking leaf, that it's the weekend, that there's a magic xylophone, all these sorts of things. Yeah, I guess I simply just want to say thank you so much for what you've given us.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I'd say thank you too. Like, I think 100% this show's made me a better parent. You know, it's reminded me to stop and focus on the kids and play with them. Like, just something so simple as taking the bins out, you know, creates this moment of connection, which is really just what the kids want. They want to connect. Yeah. And it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life, and you're constantly thinking about what the next job is. And sometimes it can just be really easy when the kids say, hey, can you come and play a game with me? You just go, oh, but I've got to do this. This show has really made me focus on, they're not going to be kids for very long.
Yep.
Just drop everything else. Go and play with the kids. I'd like to say, you know, hey, thanks, guys, for bringing this beautiful piece of art. Thanks for showing off Brisbane to the world.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for showing the bit of Brisbane that I love to the world, because, you know, as we spoke about in that first episode that we did of this podcast, so much of Bluey is set in the bit of Brisbane that made me.
Yep.
I love our city, and I love just the beauty of Brisbane that the show has shown off, and just the conversations that it started in our house. It's just wild to think that this came out of our city. Joe Brum wanted to recreate the experiences that he'd had in London, you know, working on shows like Charlie and Lola. And he thought, well, if I want that in Brisbane, I have to create it. And he created this whole thing from nothing. I just find that completely crazy. Because, you know, it's one thing to have this great idea, but then to actually be able to pull it off.
Like, yeah, the execution's been amazing.
Yeah.
A thing of beauty. And on that note, Justin, I have to go get those kids from pickup to have a little play.
I won't keep you then.
I suspect we're going to be watching Bluey when they get home before we do anything responsible. And I think that'd be quite lovely. But it's a pleasure talking to you again.
Until next time.
And there will be a next time, not just a we'll see, but stay tuned for future episodes about Bluey World right here in Brisbane. That's coming in August.
Absolutely. So make sure you hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is in your podcast app, so that it lets you know when we've got a new episode out. And you can always follow us on the socials. Just look up Bluey's Brisbane.
Come here. Everything will work out the way it's supposed to, Bluey.